Welcome to Growing the Valley. I'm one of your hosts, Phoebe Gordon.
And I'm your other host, Luke Milliron.
This is our post-harvest one-minute challenge. I'm almost finished with all of my harvests. I just have a couple more pickings of figs. What about you, Luke?
I just finished with my almond harvest and going full bore into walnuts here.
Sounds fun. All right, so the way that we divvied up the crops is that I'm taking almonds and pistachios, and Luke is taking walnuts and prunes. Luke, how about you start this time? I don't remember who started last time.
All right, I can certainly start. Let me know when to start.
Okay, I'll count down. 3, 2, 1, go.
October is a busy month in walnut production, with harvest going ahead at full steam. Harvest as early as possible to reduce quality loss from darkening kernels and navel orangeworm. Only shake what you can pick up on the same day, with quality declining most rapidly in the first 9 hours after shaking. Finally, take a harvest sample to better differentiate damage from coddling moth, navel orangeworm, sunburn, ants, and other causes. In prune production, some growers mechanically top and hedge during this post-harvest period. Cuts remain susceptible to rain-splashed fungal infection for approximately 30 days. Consider quickly protecting pruning cuts with a fungicide like Topsin M. Also, it's a time for cutting out current cytosphere cankers. Wrap up your nitrogen program if you haven't already done so in September. Once leaves begin to drop, nitrogen uptake's at an end. If low levels of zinc, consider a spray and weigh result of defoliation.
Okay, well, did you finish it?
I did finish it. All I did was I didn't say happy farming, so.
2 seconds over, okay. Great. Well, it's interesting because I have a very different focus on mine.
And again, you will be covering pistachios as well as almonds?
Yes.
All right, and are you ready?
I am.
Okay, how about you go in 3, 2, 1.
So in almonds, the majority of pollinators have been finished harvesting by now, but there are a couple of late harvesting varieties. So if you've already harvested and your leaves are deficient in nitrogen and or yield is higher than you projected, you can apply your last 20% of your nitrogen budget as long as your orchards are in good health. Post-harvest potassium and boron can also be applied at this time. So if you're doing boron, the best way to do it is 1 to 2 pounds of solubor and 100 gallons of water per acre. So fall foliar zinc fertilization also needs to occur at this time. If you do not want defoliation, 5 pounds of zinc sulfate per acre and about 100 gallons of water. Increasing up to 20 pounds of zinc sulfate will defoliate the trees. Make sure that you resume post-harvest irrigation to ensure that buds are developing properly. So, and if you have mites, I haven't seen much this year, but keep the leaves on the trees until late October. In pistachios, you do not need to apply post-harvest nitrogen. Post-harvest zinc sprays are also not effective. Pistachios do need a lot of potassium, so you can apply 1 to 200 pounds per acre of potash injected into the root zone. Pistachios also need a lot of boron. They need higher rates than almonds do, so you can apply 50 to 75 pounds of borax per acre to the soil broadcast. If you're applying through a drip system, reduced by 25 to 30%. So it's not mobile in pistachios, so fall foliar applications are not effective in the fall.
Stop. That was a full, generous 2-minute
chat. Oh my God, you should have stopped me. Whoa, okay. So I still cannot.
It might need to be tightened up a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. By,
so interesting, the commonalities in the Prunus species with both prunes and almonds having that zinc and potassium being important post-harvest nutrients, with maybe boron being a separate really important component in almond production.
I mean, they're both Prunus species, so, you know.
Indeed. Whereas pistachios seem to be a little bit different in their nutrient demands post-harvest.
Yeah, well, I think it's pistachios is because the nuts are, I mean, they are alternate bearing to begin with. And so the nuts create this crazy demand on the tree. And so what actually happens in pistachios is that they're actually pulling out carbohydrates as well as nutrients from the 1 and 2 year old wood that for each branch that they're on. And in pistachios, the amount of growth that you get is like 6 inches to maybe a foot every year. So it's a small branch. And then everything else comes from the soil. And so there's such a strong demand that basically anything that's taken up during nut fill goes directly to the nuts. And then they recover any nutrient deficiencies the following spring. Potassium is the exception to that. There's a little bit post-harvest, but in pistachios, if there's no nuts on the trees, they're not really taking up anything extra. They don't do luxury consumption. They just take up what they need for growth, and that's about it. And so it differs a lot if it's an on or an off year.
Yes, and certainly it depends on, for prune production, whether you want to really go full bore with a large potassium response in the fall or not. With, you know, for instance, in this year, some people had a large crop, whereas up in the most northern region and in parts of Tehama and Butte County, crop was pretty light. And so gauging how much you want to spend on such an important nutrient is a really important part of your management practices.
Yeah, well, the nice thing about potassium is that unless you have a potassium-fixing soil, if you soil apply, you do it well, it's going to stay there for a couple of years.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I definitely see potassium deficiency in prune orchards driving around. That's, you know, chlorotic leaves. It's pretty obvious when you're driving past. So it's a big need in prunes. And obviously it's not being met in all orchards. So.
Indeed, although I was somewhat surprised in the two rootstock trials we have in prune orchards, it looked like there was symptoms of potassium deficiency, but when we did leaf sampling, it really didn't come out as deficient. But I would agree with you, driving around, there are definitely, and it seems like perhaps the main nutrient challenge in prune production is potassium. What are you seeing as you drive around? What are some of the main sites? I know in Ammons, in this area, I don't know whether it was a tough time with irrigation during harvest and resulting tree water stress, as well as perhaps the 1-2 hit of water stress and mites. But it kind of looks like autumn. It really looks like fall in some almond orchards. And, you know, I think it's further in the year than where we actually are right now.
Well, I'm seeing that too. It's actually pretty surprising because I didn't see it last year. And so I've been talking to some growers, and it seems like things aren't drying down as fast as people would like normally. So it's possible that they could be extending the period of water stress, especially the orchards that I'm really seeing it in are ones with microsprinkler irrigation, where the wetting pattern can wet the nuts that have been winrowed. And I haven't seen it so much in drip irrigation, but I would agree. I've seen a lot of water stress-related defoliation this year, which I did not really see last year. I've been kind of quizzing people too about their what they're seeing coming off, since in some areas of Madera County, we had really bad frost. And so in those areas, people haven't been seeing as much on the nonpareil. Pollinizers are looking better. I have not looked carefully at my own yield data from the harvest that I had, the variety trial, but some like winters, oh boy, we were pulling off basically no nuts.
I was surprised by and large at the almond variety trial in Butte County that was really hit pretty hard by the frost events, at least in the yields, the raw yields out in the orchard. Our nonpareil was substantially higher than last year, and a number of varieties were high yielding, although you could tell a couple of the varieties that really potentially got hit by frost. And so in the Sacramento Valley, we have Chandler harvest and walnuts starting shortly here. And we're just gearing up for this next part of the harvest season. Walnuts are the number one crop in Butte County, so it's the work is far from over up here.
Sounds good.
Well, Phoebe, I allotted you some extra time this week because I forgot to look at my timer, but I think that we'll continue to prepare and forge on in our 1 minute challenges. And thanks for doing it.
Yeah, thank you. And I think maybe we'll meet again, maybe early November, and discuss dormancy. And maybe that'll be it until almond bloom starts to approach. We can cover almost everything in one 1 minute challenge, right? We need to meet for dormancy.
That's right. Sounds good.
Okay.
Thank you, Phoebe.
Well, yeah, thank you, Luke.
This has been Growing the Valley, a UCANR podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Phoebe Gordon.
And I'm your other host, Luke Milliron. You can learn more at growingthevalleypodcast.com.
I would like to thank my sister, Muriel Gordon, for kindly providing the theme music to this podcast.